you do?
No refundable action.
You can, because there is no.
I'm sorry, I really, I was trying, I'm whatever.
Okay. That's gone now.
That's why.
All right. I'm calling this meeting to order. Let us all stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to take a few moments for a silent observance. Roll call, please.
Director Sasanian?
Here.
Director Tornatsky?
Here.
Director Womack?
Present.
Vice President Ohilski?
Present.
President Millage?
Here.
Thank you.
Vice President Ohilski, will you report out of closed session?
I'll report out of closed session. We did discuss the item that was on the closed session agenda, which was the evaluation of the district general manager. All we talked about today was process, though. We're actually going to be doing the evaluation at our August meeting.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we're starting the process of public hearings. The first one is the public hearing to adopt resolutions submitting the following fiscal year 2018-2019 assessments and special tax rolls to San Luis Obispo County for collection. Ms. Goodart.
Yes, thank you. This item is requesting that this board open public hearings and conduct separate hearings for each assessment roll to consider all objections or protests to levying the following assessments and collections in the tax rolls. First is going to be, you'll start with Bay Ridge Estates annual service charge. Your second public hearing will be for Vista de Oro annual service charge. Your third public hearing, drainage special tax. Fourth will be Fire Protection and Prevention Services special tax. And the fifth one is the District 1 wastewater assessments. And then we ask that, or recommend that your board, following public hearings, that your board make motion, second, and roll call.
And you will keep us
I will.
In line.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're beginning the Bay Ridge Estates annual service charge. I'm opening that. Do we have any board members have any questions or concerns about this item?
Just process. We're having a separate hearing for each one of these, but the motion is kind of written as though we can make one motion for all five.
Yes, we're gonna.
Okay. That's allowed.
So we take public hear a comment on each of the five, but wrap it all up with one motion.
You may.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you for that clarification.
Make sure.
Any other questions or concerns? All right. In that case, I'm opening the public hearing regarding the Bay Ridge Estates annual service charge. If any members of the public have any comments they wish to make, please step to the podium. I'm closing the hearing on Bay Ridge Estates.
Did I do good?
Okay, good. I'm now opening the public hearing regarding Vista de Oro annual service charge. If there is anyone who wishes to give public comment, please go to the podium now. Seeing none. Is there any board discussion?
Second.
All right. If then I see none, so I'm closing that hearing. I'm now opening the public hearing regarding the drainage special tax. If you wish to make comments, please step to the podium. Seeing none. Is there any board discussion? Okay. So I'm closing that item. I'm opening the public hearing regarding the Fire Protection and Prevention Services special tax. Again, if you wish to give any public comment, please step to the podium. Okay, seeing none. Is there any board discussion? None? All right. I'm closing the Fire Protection and Prevention Services special tax item. And I'm opening the public hearing regarding Wastewater District Number 1 assessments. If you wish to give public comment, please step to the podium. Seeing none, I'm closing public comment. And is there any board discussion? Seeing none, we will move on. I'm now looking for a motion and a second. And we will have a roll call vote. Come on, gang. I need a motion.
I move the board adopt resolutions 2018-15, 2018-16, 2018-17, 2018-18, 2018-19 to levy the charges, special taxes, and assessments as listed separately in Exhibit A for Bay Ridge Estates, Vista de Oro Drainage, Fire Protection and Prevention Services, and District Number 1 Wastewater Services, and direct staff to submit adopted resolutions and tax rolls to the county for collection.
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Director Cesena.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
President Millage.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. What? Yes. Moving on to item 7B.
Yes.
You, over there in the corner.
Thank you.
Would you please give your report?
This item is a public hearing to consider levying assessments on district water accounts, is listed in the report of delinquent water charges, and to adopt the resolution confirming the report and levying assessments in the fiscal year 2018-2019 tax rolls. And this year we only have one, and that is for $1,934.83. Be glad to answer any questions.
Any board members have questions? All right. I'm now opening the public hearing regarding delinquent water accounts. Please step to the podium if you wish to give any public comment. Okay. Seeing none, I'm closing public comment. Is there any further board or any board discussion?
And you said we only have one delinquent account this year. What's a normal number?
We're it's been coming down. I think last year there were two, and then we had received payment right before the hearing.
Okay.
So now we are down to one.
That's
so
good.
Yeah. Yeah, we stay on top of it. Liz does a great job as our utility billing specialist.
Okay. So, any further? Then, all right. Then I'm entertaining a motion in a second, and then we'll have another roll call vote.
I move that the board adopt Resolution 2018-20 confirming the report of the District General Manager for delinquent water collection charges and authorizing the collection of delinquent charges on the county tax roll.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Kudar, a roll call vote.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Tarnowski.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
President Millage?
Yes.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 7C.
Attached is the proposed 2018-2019 draft fiscal budget for the Administrative General Bay Ridge Estates Fire, Vista de Oro, Water, Drainage, Wastewater, and Parks and Recreation Operations budget. Staff has received comments from both Finance and Utility Advisory Committees regarding the recommended changes to the fiscal budget, and staff has made those changes. And at this time, just bringing it back to the board for any additional comments.
No, I'd just like to point something out before it comes up, because the formatting of the pages is different, so a lot of the comments are cut off.
On this, on ours, is
right, on the ones that posted online.
On the board packet or on the finance committee?
The board package online. Oh. I just looked it up.
Oh. Well, we apologize for that.
No, I'm not. I just wanted.
Yeah.
So if anybody has any questions
on
about those, I think
it,
yeah, what the comments are, I think it'd be appropriate to bring them up today.
Yes, if somebody has.
And I do
questions.
Know that the finance advisory committee did discuss that, and all the questions they had were addressed.
Yes.
So. I just wanted to give people the opportunity to do that.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, if somebody has a question on any of the notes that were provided, there weren't on very many spots, but there were a couple of notes. Yeah. Want to do public comments?
And the Finance Advisory Committee did recommend unanimously that the board approve the budget.
Are there any other questions or comments from board members?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions on the narrative as we go through it. Talking about Bay Ridge Estates, fund has have a positive reserve amount of $32,000. So that gets applied to this year's budget, in a sense. I mean, it's a carryover. I guess I want to make sure that loan gets paid back. It seems like if we decommission tanks there this year, there's not enough money to begin loan payback, it seems like. And is the tank decommissioning expected to happen this year? I think that's Bay Ridge that...
Yes. No, you're right. Yes. Any more questions on Bay Ridge? You want me to answer those first?
Okay, I guess I'm. So we're operating the current year. We're going to wind up with almost $17,000 surplus.
Mm-hmm.
We've already got a $32,000 surplus,
I think so,
according to the narrative. So all that rolls. Okay, so maybe we can do the decommissioning and make a loan payment.
Exactly. We can. The $32,643 can either be applied to the towards the loan because they haven't made a payment yet. So this actually this year in 17-18, we have set aside money for them to make a loan payment. So their first loan payment will be this at the end of this fiscal year. But we do at the end of the 2016-2017 fiscal year, they did have that 32. So we could either apply it towards their $125,000 loan and bring it down faster. Or, I mean, that's up to the board. We can, so at the next, at the August meeting, I would be bringing back that to the board if they want to put it towards the loan, or do they want to set it aside and put it towards
decommissioning the maybe the tanks?
You know, yeah. So we're hopefully going to get two more bids for the decommissioning of those tanks so that we can come back to the board and ask how you guys would like to take care of that. Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, those can be looked at either way, either.
Okay. On the fire budget, the narrative talks about a new command vehicle. It seems like on the 20-year projection for replacing vehicles, that big long spreadsheet that's later in the packet, there are two vehicles scheduled for replacement this year. Engine E215, also, but that's not mentioned in the narrative. So, is it two vehicles or one this year?
It's just going to be the one. As far as I know at this time, they had only mentioned just the command vehicle. So that's all that we put aside, that they put aside in their budget under a vehicle, which is...
So the 20-year projection, this sheet is inaccurate. Because it showed a negative balance of almost $80,000 in the vehicle sinking fund if we purchased both of those vehicles this year. And I just wondered how we managed to do that. Because that fund should never be a negative.
No, especially because they have at their last page shows their balance sheet, and they have $663,707.82 in their vehicle replacement reserve, and the command vehicle is only going to be like 80. So
Okay.
Yeah.
What goes into a capital outlay reserve for fire? I mean, I understand water's capital outlay reserve. But for fire, we've got a station. Is that for a new station someday?
I believe that's for items such as the CBs. What are they called? Hang on one second. The self-contained breathing apparatuses. So that's where they're pulling money out of that, and that's one of the things that they put in their narrative is that they're trying to. That's where they're going to be pulling that kind of stuff out of. Any kind of upgrades that they do over at the station. They're talking about new bed frames and everything. Mm-hmm. Beds are like 12 years old or 15 years old or something like that.
And the heating system?
And,
so that's for the fire station?
Yeah, fire station, okay. Like all those items. So that's where they pull it out of is under that particular. That's where they've been pulling it out of is under that particular.
Phone reserve. System technician, is that a person or is that a system?
From my understanding, it's a system. And I apologize that I actually don't have all that information with me on that. And the chief was going to be here tonight, but he's not. He's okay. On vacation, so can't go into further than that. But I can get that information for you.
Okay, because I noticed a reference to the minimum wage increase and how that's going to affect. And I assume that's why all the budget numbers, the personnel numbers are going up under reserves and everything.
Salaries and such, yeah. So they did account for that in this particular salary. They already projected what it, you know, as close as they can with the wage increase, and that is projected in their salaries. And of course, they are hiring more people that have CalPERS, so their CalPERS has been going up, so they've taken a hit there as well. But they're finding that they're having that their staff is the reserves are better, or you know, I don't want to say I shouldn't use the word better, but they're more qualified because they happen to have experience, and because they have experience, they are CalPERS employees. So that also took a hit, and that's also reflected in there as best they could.
Any other questions from the board? All right, then I am opening the public hearing regarding the adoption of the fiscal year 2018-2019 budget. If you wish to give comment, please step to the podium now.
Richard Margetson. On page 5 of 5 on the narrative, I probably should direct this to Marshall and Chuck, because they're the ones that had the discussion about this paragraph. It's still in there about the wastewater fund. Yeah. And I don't think we've gotten clarification of where we were in the past and why that paragraph is in there when that fund is actually going to register a positive this year. It won't be a negative. I mean, the budget won't. And then, because of my own fault, I missed the meeting that you had about the additional 40-some thousand you needed to fulfill the fire contract. I know you had to do it. I know the board had to do it. But did anybody read the staff report and question it? I mean, there's some serious discrepancies in here. I'll just point out one. And per the staff report, I guess this came directly from the county, but the amount estimated for of $1,983,000 and change is the portion of AB 8, 1% general tax. And it goes on to state that the county only held back 77.7% of that amount this year to pay the CAL FIRE contract. Well, that only comes up to $1,540,000 roughly. The CAL FIRE contract was $2,138,000 plus the CSA 9 amount. So how does $43,000 fill that gap? And I guess my concern is that this doesn't happen again. Because when the arrangement was made for the county to pay the contract directly, when it was taken away from the district to pay it directly, the contract was supposed to be paid for out of property taxes for the fire department and the special fire tax. The special fire tax, the purpose of the special fire tax is to pay for the increased level of services. So if you read the staff report, I'm not going to go into more of it, but if you read it through, it absolutely makes no sense. And it does not come down to the conclusion that we only owe $41,000. I believe that's the number. I believe that's the number. But this staff report doesn't justify that. It makes no sense from start to finish.
Julie Tacker, and I'm going to take issue mainly with the Parks and Recreation budget. This year, the estimated expenses are $7,543.22. The revenue is just over $1,600. The narrative speaks to the lack of an HCP that the county has, and that's why the dog parks in suspension or whatever, wherever it is. My concern is and has been that this money continues to be burned away and you're not getting anything really done for it. It's Renee's time. It's the lawyer's time. It's Ann's time. It's really time and paper that's all you're getting from this. And until there's an HCP, you don't get a dog park. And that's been primarily what the focus of the committee has been. San Luis Obispo County owes Los Osos a dog park. This is not Los Osos CSD's problem. This is their problem. We've been paying our taxes all these years, and the park we have was, the land was donated. We're looking at the very same parcel in order to put a dog park, and we're going to do it with sweat and sweat equity and nonprofit help. San Luis Obispo County has dropped the ball on Los Osos and parks. So while we are burning up this park fund, they're skating. We're not holding them accountable, and I think that's wrong. Something else that is bothering me right now about And I've mentioned this before, the low-income assistance fund and the accounting of it. Here you're adopting a budget, and there's no mention of it, and clearly work is going on there. Money is being spent there, and you're not tracking it, and you haven't budgeted for it into the next year.
Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, I am closing public comment. Is there any further board discussion?
On the budget, yes, absolutely.
Can I real quick answer something regarding the fire? Again, I got the information from the county, so I wasn't going to change their numbers. But they did assure me that they were going to adjust their retention percentage so that this doesn't happen again next year. So they are well aware of their mistake, and so they're going to they'll fix it so it doesn't happen again.
Okay. Dr. Sassania?
Yes. Under drainage, we talk about the narrative, page 4, 5 of 5. We talk about using property taxes that had been going to water and the need to reallocate to drainage. And you mentioned that we do have drainage reserves to balance this budget if the fire tax doesn't come through. There should have been a total. And I know from another report that we have $357,000 in that drainage reserve. Mm-hmm. But in the future, if you're going to refer to a reserve that's going to pay for something, specify how much is in that reserve so we know really how much money we're talking about. I think it would help.
Okay.
I'm a little bit confused about total reserves in water. The narrative talks about reserve contributions of $505,641. That's page 4 of 5 of the narrative. But the budget total given on 7 of 7 for 500, fund 500, talks about $555,641.34. It's a difference of $50,000. And I'm just wondering where that came from. But then, again, with the handout that was given to Finance Committee the other night where we talked about reallocating the interest income percentages, it was mentioned that there is $1,249,940 in water reserves, but that's not the total that is listed on the balance sheet for water. That comes up to what, $1,542,000? If you throw in the water quality trust liability and some of them that we don't always talk about. So I'm just wondering what got left out of this reference to $1,249,940 that was given to finance the other night. Something wasn't full there. And I guess why that got brought up is I was confused about that discussion.
Do you want me to address first
sure.
the other thing? So you'd
sure.
mentioned the 500, the number on page 7 of 7,
yes.
and that 555, that's what we're proposing to put into the reserves.
Okay.
So that's not anywhere yet. I mean, it's just the proposal of what we're going to set aside in the 2018-2019 year. So that's what that 555, that's what that number is. So that's not anywhere yet until the end of next year, if hopefully
but,
it's
but,
more than that.
But in the narrative, it's reported as 505.
Yep.
Because we're still talking about 18-19 next year.
Sorry about that. I'm going to move back. Then there is a. Let me go back to that. Yeah, I can see that. So that's a typo mistake. So it should be 5-5. As far as the what was given to Finance Committee, that number is the 2016-2017 audited number.
Oh, okay.
I can't really
okay.
we think we know what we have right now, but right until we
right.
get audited, then we don't know the exact number. So that's what that number is we know that number.
Okay.
So that's what number we've been using as far as reserves go is the 2016-2017 number. And I, you know, so we're uncomfortable using you know, anything until the 2016.
Sure, I see that here, the 16-17 cash reserves.
Okay, what was your next question?
Well, I think that's it for now. I still have a lot of questions about that whole interest allocation from the other.
And that's not happening. That's not happening yet.
Okay.
That was why we took it to. That's why I took it to finance, so that they can review for me what, in case they sent me back to do any homework. Wasn't really much homework. Just more. They wanted more information, and so yeah, that's not going to go in front of the board until August.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think it also needed amounts for each account, not just percentages. You know.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. There was a lot of information there.
Exactly. So they'll get another chance to see it, and then before it goes to the board. That was our first trying to figure out what it was that they wanted. So.
Yeah, I was just going to respond to Chuck. The Finance Advisor Committee did give comments on that, and you were going to bring it back to the next meeting prior to bringing it to the board.
Oh, yeah.
But there was comments about having actual dollars amounts and then making sure that the interest rates was there, and then the fire fund that was separated out be included, so we see all the big picture all at the same time.
Yep.
So that's a short version of what we talked
about. That's a short version.
Great.
I just had a couple of responses to comments for that item that Richard brought up on the wastewater, that paragraph there that came from the auditors. This is something we're working on, trying to clarify how the wastewater fund and how that's related to the bankruptcy. So that's something that we're working on right now. I'm working on with Renee. So that's something hopefully we'll have resolved in the next month, I would hope. And then the low-income fund, we did talk about that at FAC, and that is going to start to be addressed, not part of our budget because it's a separate fund, but there will be a separate, I don't want to say fund, but there will be a separate spreadsheet for that particular expenditures, and that for starting with next month was my understanding. So just respond to those two comments. I'm ready to make a motion. So
one last question.
Sure.
On fire, the narrative, let's see, 3 of 5, first paragraph, last sentence, reserve fund accounts will not be utilized in 2018-19 for any anticipated expenses. Good. But I see in the 17-18, on page 7 of 7 for the Fund 300 budget, I see that we're going to end the year $156,000 in the hole.
You're looking at 2017, 2018.
Yes.
So they're not in the hole. That they've just made purchases against the reserve account.
So we'll be using reserves for this year.
For this year, to end this year. Yeah, that's the Medic 15 truck.
Okay.
So basically, when we wrote the check or wired that money, up until recently, when we separated out all the fire's money and put it in their own account, that technically came out of the water operations account. Everything is paid out of the general checking account. And so basically fire needs to take care of that with their reserves and put that back into our into the general checking or wherever we decide to move it. But from here on out, we're not going to have that problem anymore because they have their own account. We'll be able to wire money from their account to wherever they're buying, whatever. So
this is going to, the $157,156 is going to come out of their contingency reserves
their vehicle
fund?
Yeah, because that's for the Medic 15 truck.
Okay.
And if you remember, the Medic 15 truck was like $177,000. So they even kind of saved some money this year, and instead of having to pull the full $177,000, they're only pulling $156,000.
Okay.
So, yeah, they've been keeping their budget tight.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Further comment? May I have a motion?
Yep. I move that the board adopt Resolution 2018-24, adopting the 2018-2019 fiscal year budgets for administration, Bay Ridge, Vista de Oro, fire, water, drainage, wastewater, and parks and recreation funds.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
Director Sesania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
President Millage?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next item is to approve the recycled water agreement with San Luis Obispo County. And we have District Engineer Bob Miller to make a report. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, staff, and the public. It's been a long time coming to actually get to you with an agreement to deliver recycled water to our customers. And before you, you have an agreement that both the district's legal counsel, the utilities advisory committee, and the county's legal counsel have all endorsed as being an appropriate agreement. I just want to go through a couple of the salient points in it so everybody can hear the basics. First, our primary recipients of recycled water will be the two schools which lie within the district service area, the Los Osos Middle School and the Baywood Elementary School. Those are also two of the district's largest water customers because of the irrigation demands for potable water. So this will be a conversion of those customers to recycled water, and they will disconnect them from the potable mains for purposes of irrigation. But they will remain district customers from the perspective of billing and revenue. And the way this agreement is intended to work is that the district will provide a water meter to the county-provided recycled water main that runs all the way to the school. So the county is responsible for providing all the infrastructure, the fully treated and pressurized tertiary recycled water, and the required retrofits which need to happen at the schools in order to receive recycled water. The district is responsible for setting the water meter, conducting the reading of the meter, and then billing the end customer. So it's a good arrangement for the district. The county will continue to own all the upstream infrastructure and will be responsible for the quality of the water going forward. The district is saving some on the energy normally required to provide pressurized water to the schools. We don't have to pump it out of the ground or pressurize it to deliver it. And so there is a small charge per acre foot of $80 per acre foot proposed under the agreement that acknowledges that cost because the county will be delivering this water under pressure for the schools. The district is going to be responsible to set a water rate for this recycled water, and in previous discussions about water rates, staff recommended perhaps a 10% discount because there are more responsibilities on the school to manage and to use this water. And that discount, which will be a subject of a future Prop 218 process, was also contemplated in the district's current water rate design. You may remember this from April 2017. We acknowledged that there would be some lost revenue, but it wasn't significant, $10,000 to $20,000 a year, when you compare it to the benefits of having recycled water delivered and potable water saved. Just last comment is that this particular use of recycled water is what we would determine to be the highest benefit to seawater intrusion. We calculate 50 to 60% of every gallon that we use at the schools for recycled water will be that much of a benefit to seawater intrusion. So I think this is a positive item. There is an agreement that's still in effect between the county and the schools, but this agreement indicates that will be terminated. That was the controversial agreement that occurred several years ago, and that's not going to be governing recycled water. This will be superseding that. So I'd be happy to answer any questions here tonight, and staff recommends your approval if you're ready to give it.
I have one. I guess.
Lou can go first.
Yes.
Is the county and the schools, are they both with it? They're not going to weasel out?
We do believe they're both with it. In fact, the retrofits that are contemplated on the schools are currently in process, and so the school's fully on board. And
so this would have many advantages if we pull this off.
I think to all parties would benefit.
Great.
Vice President. Okay.
You.
Yeah. I had a question about Section 3, Subsection E. And you sort of alluded to this, but it says charge customers its approved recycled water rate for all recycled water. I don't know that, do we have an approved recycled water rate at this point in time?
You have a contemplated rate in your rate design, but not an approved rate. So you, as one of your obligations, if this is approved tonight, we'll begin the process of putting together a staff recommendation for a Prop 218 process to set that rate, which would be at 90% of the potable rate.
Okay, so, and the Prop 218 would just be for the purchasers?
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to, because it was, you alluded to that in your presentation. I just wanted to clarify that. Okay, thank you.
Any other board member questions, comments? All right, then, moving on. I will now take public comment on this item.
Richard Margetson. Last time a contract like this came before the community, it was held at a school at night and was never, the particulars of potentially selling water, recycled water, never came before this board. So it's nice to see the initial step come before this board. That was many years ago and a lot of controversy. I guess my question, I have no problem with the agreement. I'm just a couple little housekeeping things. If you set the rate at 10%, is it going to be 10% on the base and then 10% through all of the tiers? Or will it just be 10% on the top tier? Because that was, I think, the proposal that was put in front of the community or in front of the school district those many years ago. But and then just a comment. Rob articulated that the mitigation factor for seawater intrusion is 0.55, and we're paying $80 an acre foot. The county's selling recycled water to the dryland farmers with a mitigation factor of zero for 100 for the first few acres and 75 thereafter. You would think we would be getting the major break because this is where the water is going to have its most beneficial use. Those contracts with the dryland farmers are still absolutely absurd.
Julie Tacker, and I remember that meeting. It was at Del Mar Elementary in Morro Bay. So Los Osos was completely disconnected from participating. Just some of us that watch agendas ended up over there and raised a ruckus that fell on really deaf ears. Those are school board members. They had no clue to what we were talking about. Even longer ago, the school district had considered putting in upper aquifer wells at those sites. And again, watching their agendas, I remember sending John Seitz their staff report on these upper aquifer wells, knowing we would lose those customers if they proceeded. I, too, have no problem with the agreement. I am curious because there is... We just watched a lot of construction on the Los Osos Valley Road undergrounding project. Over there, they were using potable water for their dust control, and it gave me great heartburn knowing that the sewer plant was chugging out recycled water, and yet it wasn't available for use yet. I'm hoping that this agreement, and now that the pipes will be full of that purple pipes will be full of treated wastewater coming down 10th Street to that hydrant that the county put in. My only curiosity with that is that, yes, that water will be available for those sorts of uses, but at what rate to that contractor who's going to use that water, and we don't want him sort of thinking, well, it's too far to drive there to get it. If it's not inexpensive enough to use it, he'll just use potable water. Just some thoughts.
Hello, Scott Kelting. So I'm understanding this is going to be non-potable water going to Los Angeles Middle School. Is that right? Yeah. I'm just wondering, the water usage for that school probably primarily is for the fields, and the soccer fields there are extremely dangerous right now for children to play on with the potholes and things. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe a better solution would be to put AstroTurf in there. Because when I think about the solution as far as the seawater intrusion goes, is that the best place to put the water to replenish our groundwater basin? If it's not the best place to put the water to replenish our groundwater basin, and we can cut back their water usage by putting turf in, that might be a better solution for Los Osos in the long run, and for our children who are right now playing on an unsafe field. Go check, take a look at it. And I would imagine that's where the water is going, because I see the sprinklers going often. So anyway, something to think about.
Any further public comment? Oh, did you want to say
something? Madam President, just in responding to a bit of the public comment, to Richard's comment, currently staff's thinking that 10% discount would be applied to the commodity rate across all the tiers. But we haven't formalized that yet. Of course, almost all their water is used in the upper tiers, so the actual delta would be pretty small. But that's staff's current thinking, though we'll bring that forward specifically for the district to take action in the future. We're open to either way. And then as far as the use of the water for construction, certainly one of the uses that is supported by the state and the regional board, I'm not sure of the status of that, but I think the use of that water for construction, dust control, compaction, all those things is a good use. And then certainly if the turf were replaced with a synthetic turf, that would free up water to use for other purposes to the benefit of the basin. So that would further increase the benefit to seawater intrusion. I don't know what the economics of that are. I know that artificial turf can be spendy. And I believe those were all the key questions, and I'd be happy to respond to anything else from the board.
Vice President Anhelsky.
Yeah, I just had one question. So what's the time frame for this to take effect? Because it doesn't get discussed here. So I know they have to do infrastructure improvements, et cetera. So are we looking for a year, year and a half, 2 years?
Golly, I hope not. this agreement should go before the Board of Supervisors in September. Current projection from the county, and so theoretically, if the retrofits can get done, hopefully by the end of this year, recycled water can be delivered. That would give us time to run through our own Prop 218 process. You know, we had hoped at this time last year to irrigate for this summer, didn't make it. So I'm hoping this water can be delivered certainly by next irrigation season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Rob, is the expiration of the existing county contract tied to this new one? You mentioned it was going to go away.
There is a provision in there that acknowledges that one of the tasks the parties have is to terminate that agreement, work together to make sure it's terminated as soon as this one goes into effect. So a contract burning, I don't know how we'll do it, but we'll do it.
Do we need a permit for that?
Just some motivation.
Exactly.
Any other board questions or comments? All right. In that case, I will entertain a motion to approve the recycled water contracts.
I so move.
You didn't even let me finish. Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
I assume the motion is the staff recommendation.
Yes.
The first one.
Pardon me.
Yes, just wanted to make sure.
That one, yes.
For the record, can we just read that? I move that the board approve the draft agreement and authorize the board president to execute the agreement on behalf of the district. Just wanted a clarification because there was two motions stated here.
Thank you. So you are, you've made that motion.
That's his motion, I assume.
So that is your motion?
Sure. As long as it happens, let's do it.
Do I have a second?
Yeah, yes. I second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Our next item is to schedule a community meeting or workshop regarding the proposed well sites on the eastern side of the groundwater basin. And this is Vice President Ohulski's project.
Yep, back up again. So I asked to have this item scheduled right after this, your item, Rob, so we can be here to talk about it. But the goal is the Basin Management Committee and the CSD and Golden State and Sunset Terrace are all on board with trying to come up with a community workshop date where we can discuss the potential well sites on the eastern side with the community and not have a formal 3-minute comment period or whatever. So what I did was I cut and pasted from the staff report that Rob prepared for the last Basin Management Committee and just cut and pasted it in here. So the purpose of tonight's meeting is to get input from the community members that are here as to what kind of dates would be most acceptable to you and agreeable. Rob and I are thinking about a midweek day sometime before the end of, well, I know you have a vacation schedule, but that's what we're thinking about is a midweek day, and then we'd schedule it at either at the school or at the fire service gym there or some room at the community center where there's enough room for everybody to interact informally. So you want to add something to that, Rob?
Just that I think we'll want to maybe get a postcard out to all the entire area, all the private well owners, the one-acre lot owners, everyone who might be interested or affected. So if the timing appears a little aggressive to have it in July, it'd also be okay with staff to have it in August, giving time for that mailer to go out and people to be informed. I will be on vacation across the pond from July 25 to August 10th, so if it could be outside that window and not on the 11th, that'd be great.
Yes, I know. You already sent me that earlier about my Basin Management Committee having to. So I don't know if any of the board members have any comments at this point, but we wanted to bring it to the board so the public could get up and comment on what days they would prefer to do it. So if I'm hearing what you're saying correctly, Rob, we may want to be looking maybe like at August 15th, which would be the third Wednesday in August or something like that. So do we just want to maybe throw that out to the public if August 15th works?
Sure, we can go straight.
Okay. August 15th?
Is that also a Basin Management Committee meeting day?
Yes.
Staff has suggested that in order to get time for the agenda to get out on that Basin Management Committee, that we're polling committee members to see if we can push that meeting to later in the month.
Right.
But the 15th would be a fine day for the workshop, and I'd be certainly prepared by then. Or the 16th, anytime that week is fine.
Okay. They were thinking evening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 p.m.
Right.
On a Wednesday or a Thursday evening, be interested to hear from the public on whether that be acceptable.
Right. Our feeling is that a weekday is better than a weekend, so that's something we'd just like to find out. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
I have a comment. I'd like to applaud this idea. It's a wonderful venue to sort of solve problems that are real important. And we're not always sort of having the mic and making a vote, we can actually problem solve. I'd love to come.
Everybody's invited. So can we take public comment on input on what we just suggested, I guess?
Yeah, if you allow me to say that. Yes, I will take public comment now. And please include your thoughts on the dates for a workshop. Except I don't see anyone at the podium.
Sorry, I was checking with Rob on the dates. As a member of the Community Center Board, I'm looking at Chuck, too. I think Thursday's going to be the most available day, that 16th. There are things periodically Wednesday, but Thursday was always set aside as the People Helping People designated day, and we don't use that third Thursday right now. So
there is also a Utility Advisory Committee meeting that Wednesday night, the 15th. That's our regularly scheduled meeting, 5:32.
Then the 16th probably looks good. That's the one I think would.
That's why we wanted to have a discussion about it.
Great idea.
Scott Kelting, thanks, Lou, for that comment. I agree that this is going to be nice to have an open discussion about all of this with the community. I'm out of town on the week, that whole week. I know it doesn't need to be scheduled around me, but I'm just since I'm here, I'm just going to let you know that I'm gone that week. However, the following week, that Thursday, actually, I'm gone then, too. but that Wednesday, the following week, I should probably be in town on the 22nd. But, you know, I know everybody's got schedules and work commitments and things, but having in the evening is much better than in the middle of the day for people I know. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Is there any further board discussion?
Excuse me.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Julie Tacker, my only thought is I love workshops. I love the workshop idea. I'm concerned about how the board participates and that this would be a special meeting for you so that you could all participate too, or does somebody have to hold their tongue and watch, or can you actually have a meeting where you can all participate? That's your legal counsel's.
Yes, I agree. We will consult with our legal counsel.
We have more public comment or not?
Madam President, if I might, the following week, the week of the 20th, Mr. Kelting has been very instrumental in helping the community understand the technical aspects of this issue. And so to the extent that he can be there, that would be my preference. So the evening of the 21st, which is a Tuesday, the evening of the 22nd, which is a Wednesday, and we'll of course find a venue. I liked having it at the community center, but we'll find a venue. If we have a representative from the community center who might be able to help us on the 21st.
Yeah, and I can't do it on the 21st, so we got to scratch that date.
So maybe the
21st, there's a number of things that happen that on Tuesday night. There's all the way up until like 9 o'clock.
I can't make it that night anyway.
That Wednesday, I think, is available.
Great. 22nd. Sounds like the convergence of availability here. That would be great, and we'll prepare a mailer and send it out and see if we can get everybody out and probably invite AGP as well to make sure we have some audio so everybody can be heard.
So we can put, yeah, definitely. Okay. So we can post that on our website too, and then we'll talk to Roy offline about that other, the special meeting item. Okay, so I guess we're good to go on the 22nd. So we'll shoot for 6 o'clock. Is that the time we decided on?
I think so. I think it's going to go a while, so I don't want to get too sleepy at the end of the meeting. We'll stay till 10.
Okay, well, I appreciate the input, and I appreciate you sticking around, Rob.
Okay, no problem. Have a good meeting.
Apparently we need a motion to set this up? No,
we don't need a motion.
Good.
We have another meeting prior, a board meeting prior to this, so we can talk about the special meeting, the legal aspects of it prior to then.
Yeah, you won't need much time, but yes, we can.
It will be a special meeting, I know.
All our meetings are special. All right. I will now take public comment for items not on the agenda. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes or otherwise.
question. So is this for FSC?
Yes, she'll call you. Yes, she'll
call you. Not yet. Public comment on items not on the agenda.
Go for it.
Richard Margetson. This is a comment I didn't want to have to make, but since your last meeting, this community lost a huge supporter, Leon Golden, who was a member of the Emergency Services Committee, yes, on AO5, the Finance Committee, passed away. Leon was a friend, a mentor. Some of the things he was involved with that you might not know about, he was a staunch supporter of the second fire tax. He was actually co-chair of Yes on AO5 with Jerry Walsh. And between the two of them and their leadership and the rest of the community coming together, a fire tax that was defeated was overwhelmingly supported the second time. And he was also in the trenches during the fight for the increased level of service as a member of the Finance Committee. I will just tell you, when Leon was on the Finance Committee with Jerry Dietz and Jack Hunter and some of those people, budget review used to go 4, 5, 6 hours, and there was never a mistake. They found the mistakes. They allowed the mistakes to be found. Another little side story of how Leon, when he got his dander up about something, made sure that it happened. At one time, there was a bus stop bench right in front of the Tri-W site, right over a culvert. And Jerry Walsh and myself took a bunch of pictures of it, took them up to Leon and said, how do we do this? How do we get this changed? Somebody's going to fall off that park bench into that culvert, into those rocks, and hurt themselves, and the county's going to get sued. Leon said, being an attorney, said, go to the Board of Supervisors, and he and his wife, Martha Golda, went with us, give public comment, put them on notice that they have been noticed that this hazard is there. After 6 months of not being able to get it done, just by going to that one Board of Supervisors meeting, following his advice, driving back to Los Osos, I got a phone call. He and his wife passed the Tri-W site, the Tri-W site on their way back. 45 minutes after we left the Board of Supervisors meeting, County Public Works was out there taking measurements, taking pictures, and that bus stop bench got moved across the street. Leon's going to be, could you just turn it off for a second? Let me finish. Leon's going to be sorely missed by this community. 3 minutes is not enough time to talk about all the things that he was involved with that were positive for this community. And just have good thoughts about him, and let's not forget him.
Thank you. Any other public comment on items not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on. Sure.
I didn't know about Leon, Richard, until you brought it up. I would second what Richard said. He was a very, very active member in the community until he had to move away, but he was very, very active and very, very involved and very, very influential person. So it really makes me sad, but
we're moving to the administrative and committee reports. Chief Alex is actually taking vacation, so he will not be here this evening.
Jason Spinharney is at the Napa fire, so he wasn't going to be able to make it either.
And Spinharney is working. All right. Sheriff's Department report.
Good evening. Commander Jim Vogue from Coast Station. During this last month, we had 231 calls for service. That's a little bit higher than usual, but not too much. 45 of those were for suspicious vehicles or subjects or circumstances. We had 2 phone scams reported, which is way down, warrant and IRS scam. 7 vandalisms, which creeped up, and I'll talk about those in a minute. 14 thefts, 5 burglary calls, and 44 disturbing the peace calls. On the 9th of June, 1700 block of 7th Street, husband and wife had someone go through their vehicles in the middle of the night. They didn't discover anything missing, but the vehicle locks were damaged and tampered with and not working properly. And the husband was sure he locked his car, but there's no evidence of forced entry. On the 10th of June, on the 1100 block of Ramon Avenue, we had a little family dispute. One brother entered the other brother's trailer and took $1,200 to buy drugs and a new television set. So the brother called us. We went in there. He was on probation. We arrested him for burglary and possession of a controlled substance. He had hypodermic needles, scales, packaging for narcotics, meth pipes, etc. So, on the 21st of June, 1900 block of Aspen Street, this was an interesting incident. We responded to burglary in progress. We talk about community policing a lot. This was what I consider true community policing. A neighbor noticed that he knew his neighbor wasn't, there's nobody at the residence, and he saw somebody inside the house. He saw a car parked in the driveway. He actually took his own personal vehicle and blocked the car by parking in front of the car in the driveway. Then he called us on. We got there. We formed a perimeter around there. We ran the license plate number of the car and found out who the criminal was. So we called him by name, and we saw light go on upstairs, and then he turned the light back off. We knew where he lived. We went there. We picked up his brother. He wouldn't respond to our public address system. We brought his brother out there, and his brother got in the public address system, and he wouldn't respond to his brother, so his brother called him on his cell phone, and he hung up the phone, told his brother to quit bothering him. So we finally called up the owner, said, we're going to force entry. He said, go ahead. We forced entry in the back. We had a canine with us. We came into the house. We gave him several canine warnings, and he finally woke up. He was asleep up in a stranger's bedroom, and walked down the stairs, and we were able to take him into custody without further incident. So, as I said, true community policing, which is really appreciated. On the 22nd, on the 1000 block of Santa Maria Avenue, here's where we have a bunch of incidents over there. Some of you might have heard about it. Approximately 2 a.m., a man was awakened after hearing some noise in his driveway. He noticed that the doors of his unlocked car and his wife's unlocked car in the driveway were open. He went outside. A male suspect fled from the car. He gave chase but didn't catch him. Appears that his wife's coin purse was the only item stolen. He didn't really have a good look at the suspect, but a backpack was found in the driveway. And presumably the suspect's backpack. Inside the backpack was several bottles of Modelo beer and a radar detector. So on that same night, on the 900 block of Santa Maria Avenue, a suspect entered another unlocked vehicle and took several bottles of Modelo beer and a radar detector. So he must have gone there first. We didn't know about this till the next day when the person found it was missing. Also on the 22nd, 1400 block to 7th Street, victim parked her car in the driveway, and during the middle of the night, a suspect punctured her right front tire. We get sporadic vandalism. Sometimes they're directed at somebody, you know, like relationship disputes. This was a random act. The car parked next to hers was unlocked. 4 suspects entered the car, removed some unknown items. But the puncturing of the tire was kind of a distinct M.O. Also between the 23rd and the 25th, Santa Maria and 10th Street, unknown suspect punctured the left tire of victim's vehicle. And then on the same dates, on the 1000 block of Santa Maria, same thing, suspect slashed 2 tires. Same date, 1300 block of 14th Street, suspect entered victim's locked vehicles, removed some iPhone charging cables and a Yeti thermos cup. So We think we may have stopped it. Usually a lot of these things happen for a short period of time. A lot of times they're younger people that do it. You know, it wasn't just a regular car theft. It was vandalism. And so, you know, and there were more than one suspect involved. On the 26th, a lady from Los Osos, 26th of June, entered an online dating site called plentyoffish.com. Never heard of it myself, but I guess it's okay. I pulled it up. It's a legitimate site. So, corresponded with a subject who asked her to provide gift cards. He said he was from Mexico, and he was an orphan, and now he moved to Africa. And what happens in a lot of these things, they start a relationship. They know how to do that. I know it's a weird Mexico to Africa, but anyway. Anyway, so they get involved. They start communicating back and forth, and finally she got some cards, felt sorry for him, and gave her the number. As soon as you give the number of the gift cards, you can color that card gone. The money is already into the suspect's hands. He then talked her into giving her some banking information, and then she found out later there were some unauthorized charges. She tried to locate the person again to ask her about it, and she found out he'd moved to another African country. Now he's using a different name, and anyway, it finally obviously was a scam right from the beginning. And she's reported it now to her financial institution. On the 30th, 700 block 11th Street, $500 pair of Ray-Ban glasses were stolen from victim's unlocked vehicle. So as I keep on repeating, lock your cars. One other thing, I was at Best Buy the other day in uniform, and the security asked me to, could I look at this gentleman over there? And he was, you know, a mature adult about my age. So he was there with his, young man, right. He had his iPhone was on, and he had about 10 cards, gift cards, $50 cards from Best Buy. And the security said, this is the third trip that he's made today. So he thinks the guy's involved in some kind of phone scam because he was talking to somebody on there. And, you know, this is very common. So they're using these cards all the time. I went over there to talk to him, and he said, oh, no, I just like electronics. And, you know, then he was kind of shut up about that. A lot of these scams talk about kidnaps. They talk about people are going to be injured. They talk about your grandson's in jail, you know, when it's not obviously your grandson. So, you know, just be careful. But if you ever see particularly senior citizens get scammed the most, and the big thing is to buy these cards and get the number. And to Best Buy's credit, they say, do you really know what you're doing? This sounds like a scam to me. So, you know, against their own best interest. So I give them credit for that. So, any questions at all? Besides fireworks, so it was a pretty calm 4th around here. The biggest part in my coast area, you know, I was at Cayucas because that's where, you know, we really have the big parade and everything. And some of my friends from Los Osos 10th Street came down there and happened to be the first two people that were arrested that night. But it's nice that they travel, you know, with me when I go down there. But very few arrests, very few reported crime. Pirates Cove got really heavily populated. That's a very difficult area to police, and I think Pismo was sending their. Yeah, they send a lot of people. And Pismo is doing a good job. They're sending their people to Pirates Cove, which is our area. So I'll give them credit for that one. So, any questions at all? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, in fact, that's what happens in the county, obviously, on 4th of July. But we do get them, yeah. And you know, usually we have one unit in the area probably at night because a lot of our resources are in Cayucas at that time. And we do respond, but a lot of times we just don't respond right to that place because, you know, we have people from the fire department with us, like in Cayucas, because they're using, you know, they have... They used to have the War of 1812 out there in the south end. So we try to confiscate them, and we give them to the fire department, and they write them up a big, nice ticket right there, the arson investigators. So, and it's a safer place for them to take the fireworks. But you know, it's like herding cats on the 4th of July. I'm telling you, it's difficult. You try to do your best and you know, you do what you can. But the biggest thing that we try to do is have a presence and make some arrests early. You arrest one intoxicated person early and about, you know, 500 people see it. And it's better for the rest of the night. You know, it just seems that way. And last couple of years have been really, really well. They just know you're out there, and I think that's important, so to be out there. But yes, we do plenty of.
Any questions from the board? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Utilities Department report. Mr. Acosta.
Good evening, Madam President, Board of Directors, members of the community. My name is Jose Acosta, Los Osos Community Services District Utility Systems Manager. Tonight I'll be reporting the Utilities Department report for May of 2018. First part of the report is water production information for May 2018. For the month of May, we produced 15.6 million gallons of water. And that was an average of about 505,000 gallons per day. And that's a decrease of 4% from last year. And that calculated out to about 67 gallons per day per person per capita. So I do want to point out that the production has gone down for the last couple months. And it's in par with some of our lowest production months, as well as our consumption. Overall, for the year, the consumption did go up, but I do want to point out that the citizens have dropped consumption the last couple months. So when I reference that for good water conservation, it's for the last few months. So they've been doing a good job. I like reminding the community to continue doing your conservation efforts. I love driving into town, driving around town, seeing the kids' posters around town. I think that those are having a benefit for the kids as well as the families of the community. So just wanted to point that out real quick. The production numbers here, you can see the decreases in each well, where the water was produced less from each well, and also the runtime hours. The water billing information, we billed for approximately 10.3 million gallons for the month, for the 2 months between March and May, and this generated approximately $173,000 in revenue. The utility department operations and maintenance, the task completed by the crew and the water distribution and treatment areas. They conducted their daily, weekly, monthly water quality sampling, analysis, and reporting for all well sites throughout the distribution system. Continue their monthly meter reading and meter changeout program. We've completed that for the fiscal year. We'll restart that up this next fiscal year, our meter changeouts. They repaired and upgraded service lines at 1676 10th Street and 1608 7th Street. Completed water mainline valve exercising. When they do this, they compile the listing, identifying valves that will require corrective action. And they've also completed fire hydrant maintenance and repairs. Two hydrants were identified, investigated, and repairs completed. They cleaned up and moving up parts and equipment at the current storage yard facility to prepare for the opportunity to have the new building on site. We had a couple operators attend a two-day class on chemical feed pump operation, troubleshooting, water quality sampling, and mainline flushing, locating techniques and equipment as well. So, next one I want to discuss is the rainfall totals. As you can see, for the month of May, there was no rain, and the total for this year between April and March is 0.79 inches of rain. That concludes my staff report for this month. Do I have any questions from the board? Thank you.
Ms. Osborne.
Good evening. I wanted to talk just a little bit about the Los Osos Income Assistance Fund, and if anybody has any questions on that before I move on to the rest of my report, I'd like to hear them so in case we need to do any adjustments. Letters with the application and the HUD requirements have been mailed out to the remaining residents that have not hooked up to the sewer. There's 121 names, addresses I received from the county. Flyers are posted around town and posted on Channel 20, Facebook, and the district website. Informational packages were left with the South Bay Community Center, People Helping People, Trinity Methodist Church, St. Benedict's Church, Los Osos Care, and of course we left some packets at the front of our office. And at the time wrote the report, I only had one application in. At this time I have three. But that is all that I have received. As mentioned, I'm keeping track of my time, and no money since we paid the last, since we finished the first phase, has come out of the account. The low income bank account. Thank you. But we will, starting next month, I'll put the bank account information in there so you can see it.
Renee, you might want to mention Lisa's working with you on that.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, we have Lisa and Richard, Lisa Gonzalez and Richard Markson, helping us in case what also went out in the to everybody was three names, which was Lisa and Richard and myself. If anybody is interested in help filling out their application, gave out phone numbers and so that they can be reached. Any questions on the Los Osos income? Nothing? Okay, I'm going to move on. Staff and fire, water, admin staff, we've been working on the record retention policy. There is a list of items to be discarded and is provided under consent agenda item 11I. This is something that I spoke of when I very first started. This was something we wanted to do, was go out to the C-trains and just reorganize everything and make everything a little bit easier to find. We have created a new list so we know what is out there. We just need Ann's finishing touch at the but we are, that item is completed, so we're really excited about that. The district bookkeeper and I have been reviewing the interest allocation and reserve accounts, and I will be submitting an additional report to the Finance Advisory Committee for their comments and recommendations, and then we'll follow up with the board with a full report in August. Parks and Rec, the county has agreed to do a term sheet instead of a lease agreement, and this will simplify the district's process to start working on the other items associated with the dog park without having to complete a CEQA process first. As soon as we turn in the lease, that triggers change in land, and if that triggers a change in land, then we would need to do a CEQA. So doing a term sheet instead still gives us the authority to continue to work on the other items that we can do before the ACP is completed. And so we did present the term sheet at the Parks Committee. They're happy with it, and board, I believe, has already seen it, and so we will be moving forward with a term sheet instead. The Parks Committee has been reviewing options to remove the rubber chips from the county park, and a recommendation will be presented to the board at the August 2nd meeting, because that was also on their agenda at the Parks meeting this week. Director Sasenia had a question regarding NBS at the last meeting as to what exactly does it entail that they do for us. And so they submitted a statement, a summary of their work. And I don't know if anybody has any questions on that, further questions on the NBS and what they do for us at this time. No? Okay. So I believe that answers last month's questions. And if anybody else has anything else?
Any board questions or comments? Okay, moving on. Mr. Bender.
Good evening, Larry Bender, Community Advisory Council. Big thing of our last meeting was coming up with guidelines for vacation rentals, which we did, and we're passing them on to the county now to get their input on it and see if we came close. That was about it. Any questions or anything? Or
my congratulations.
took a little yelling and screaming and arm pulling and arm wrestling. It was quite a challenge, but we did it.
Yes, and I appreciate that. When I was chair of LOCAC, we had several go-rounds on that topic.
Do you know when that'll be before the county for consideration?
No, we just finished it last week, and so we're in touch with Carrie to what's the next step. When I find out, I'll let you know.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the Board of Directors, staff, and public. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce has some tickets to tomorrow night's Slow Blues game. Normally they're $8. We have them for $3. So if you know anyone, if you know any young families, it's going to be a warm night for sure, and it would be nice if you could let somebody know about the free tickets, actually the tickets are $3, normally $8. Tell them I sent you, and I'll give you some free ones. So on Labor Day, Monday, September 3rd, we're going to be having our first annual Taste of Baywood. As you know, Mondays we have the farmers market, and then we have beer on the pier, and so we're going to kind of craft this event between the two time-wise. We're still kind of developing what's going to go on, but we've got some pretty good restaurants. Nourish from the Granada Hotel and Bistro will be there. Questa Agriculture, Nutrition, and Plant-Based Nutrition Program will be there. Old San Luis Barbecue, Blue Heron, and so forth. So we've got a pretty good lineup. I think there's going to be some contests about running over into the farmer's market and buying some things and come back and who can cook the best meal with, you know, it's all about the farm-to-fork thing. So talked to Nardoni's today, and Ben Doherty is going to be taking care of the beer and wine. So we're in good hands there. So, again, it's Labor Day, Monday, September 3rd. So we've got the third annual Festival de Osos, the Bear Festival of Los Osos. We're looking for bears that represent community spirit, big, small, friendly, silly, or serious. We invite local businesses, community artists, creative professionals, organizations, and students to create something special for locals and visitors to enjoy. The bears have to be in place by August 8th, displayed until September 8th. Then they're going to be moved to the South Bay Community Center on the 9th, September 9th, for Grandparents' Day, where they will be judged by a panel and the community. The categories will be chamber business, residential, organization, youth under 18, and we'll have maps of the of where the bears will be at the chamber office. So if you know somebody who's got some bear talent, have them see us. And that's all I have.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Wiggins.
My name's Emily Miggins, and I'm here to kind of step in for Tom Wright from the Fire Safe Council, our focus group here in Los Osos, and just kind of review what we went over last month and get any feedback from anyone. We obviously did updates on how the community's doing after, you know, the chipping event. A lot of questions have come into both Fire Safe Council members, but also into, you know, the station about from the community. I think Chief Alex definitely, he's doing pretty good, I would say, on Nextdoor, answering people's questions or putting information out there that's actionable for the community to learn about fire preparedness. We had a discussion, an update on the Habitat Conservation Plan, specifically on the state land, not the county land, up behind my house or up on Highland Drive, which is the Morro Dunes Ecological Reserve. And not that this is anything new for Los Osos, but no word yet on the habitat conservation plan, other than Chief Alex is hoping to see something. He's been told by county, he's been told by Fish and Wildlife Service, and certainly by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, that it's coming, hopefully August, maybe September, and I'm not going to hold my breath, but that's the supposed, and people are nodding their heads. Yeah, that's the supposed date. We're hopeful. And then we had a good discussion, actually, Vicki, what am I supposed to say, Madam President, was at the meeting. And, you know, there's interesting, I did a lot of walking to hang fire tags in what are called state responsibility areas back in, I guess that was April, and that was just volunteering for our fire department, and Tom Wright and other people came out of the community just to help out. And I just would run into these bizarre areas that I didn't know about, because when you really physically walk the community, I did like 17 miles, you find these areas and you're not sure who owns it. You can see it from GPS or a map. And so our discussion that we had was about something that Chief Alex and I are calling the Las Encinas Tierra area. It's in Bay Oaks, and it's really magical. There's this, you feel like you're in the Lord of the Rings in the Shire, and you're going down between these houses out over to the preserve, which is not the Morro Dunes Reserve, but you start getting the ecological, how it's all connected. But this area is not very well maintained, and I'm not the professional, I'm just the volunteer. But I did have a fireman with me to deliver some of this stuff. And Vicki wants to go on a hike back there because we think the CSD owns it. We're not sure.
We're investigating.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, there's areas like that, and if people know about areas like this, they should make the chief aware and Fire Safe Council. We are seeking funding to help the CSD, I guess, help with the expense of maintaining it. It was done, some FSC members, it was cut like maybe 5-6 years ago, and then these things are magical here, but they're important for the community to let members of, local government, but certainly the fire station know about, because we forget. We forget what's where. And I'll say something outside of even this report. I think it's important. I've been talking to a lot of neighbors just about how do we as a community, we all have tools. We all have weed whackers and shears. How do we help each other do a better job with mitigating kind of fire threat around our homes. So it's kind of hard to do in the state-owned areas, but if you do it quietly, you can get some of the dead stuff out of there. And that's not official from the FSC.
I was going to say,
you just got to do it quietly.
That wasn't...
Yeah. No, but, I mean, there's when it starts coming through your fence, you know, you can cut a little bit. Yeah.
Yes.
So... I don't know if anyone has any questions, but certainly it was... Well, of course, Madam President, you can speak to us.
I was actually seeing if any board members have any questions.
I was just going to provide a
comment. All right. Or a comment.
The CSD does own that property because we, with Tom Wright, I remember we did the weed whacking back in there. So the CSD does own that property.
Yeah, and so that's one of those things... I don't even know because I haven't done this before, but it's one of those things that we've got to remind each other year over year to maintain. And then, Vicki, you had another task from that meeting, which is we're talking about doing another gathering of the community, and some of the things that we talked about is certainly to try to maybe do an evening meeting so that working families and people can join an update, not just from CAL FIRE, but from FSC, to just get educated on fire threat in our community. And we need to find out, or maybe Renee, you can help me figure out, community center, Richard, how to book the community center because we think the meeting will be larger. That's my report.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yes, Vice President Hilsky is the star of the show
apparently
tonight.
Okay, so when John Eric was still the president, he appointed ad hoc committee of myself and John Eric to go ahead and look at weed abatement authorities for the district, which follows up with what you're talking about. So that's why we put this item next. So because what we were following up on, and I said on LAFCO, and we had a very extensive presentation regarding weed abatement authority, and San Simeon was the model because San Simeon just activated powers to do a weed abatement authority in San Simeon. So I've been following up on this to see what we need to do or what we can do. So based on the conversations that I've had with LAFCO, with David Church and Mike Prater, who's the associate there, we already have those powers under our fire protection powers. And I have the legal findings here, which I will forward on to Roy. But we do have the weed abatement program in accordance with the health and safety code, blah, 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 blah. So we do have that power already. And what I'd like to propose is that the county, or pardon me, district council prepare a resolution, because we do need a resolution to authorize us to move forward under the weed abatement ordinances. So I think that we just should do that. What the LAFCO is saying, it is advisable the district adopt an ordinance that outlines the district roles and responsibilities and what actions the district will follow to achieve abatement of weeds. And I'll forward this on to you, Roy. So I think that the next step in this is to go ahead and adopt that resolution or that ordinance by resolution, and then we can move forward with the weed abatement authority. And then secondly, and this will be for the next fire season next year, but we may also want to look at whether we want to adopt a wider sphere of influence for the weed abatement authority than just the current sphere of influence, or pardon me, the current district. So I think in the short term, what I would like to propose is that we adopt an ordinance that outlines our role, and then for next year that we look at whether we want to address a potential change in the boundaries for the fire protection area. So that's the short update on that. Sorry it took us so long to get back with this, but it kind of fell through the cracks when John Eric left. But
expanding our fire prevention area, would that involve going through LAFCO?
That would involve, that's an amendment. That's why I want to do the ordinance in the short term and then look in the long term as to whether we want to expand our boundaries or not.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Utilities Advisory Committee report, Director Cesena.
We met on Wednesday, June 20th, and talked about a lot of things you've heard about tonight. The recycled water agreement was presented to our group. The bids for the 8th Street Water Yard building project, general review of all utilities department projects, and the Basin Management Committee capital project updates. There's a lot going on, and certainly the Basin Management Committee found out how popular the subject of that new well is going to be. That'll be an interesting exercise, that meeting we're going to have. And that's kind of about all we talked about. Next meeting will be Wednesday, July 18th at 5:30 here.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation?
We had a complete presentation about Parks and Recreation meeting that we had, which was actually truncated because we had a small meeting, and after we'd started,
We had a third person there, and we were legal, but somehow we were in between legal and not legal, so we had a nice discussion, which touched upon a lot of the things that Renee was talking about. So she covered it.
Thank you. Vice President Ohilski.
Yes, Financial Advisory Committee. We met Monday. The committee recommends that the board approve the warrant register and receive and file the financial reports for the period ending May 31st, 2018. We had a discussion regarding the budget for 2018-19, which we've already approved, so I already spoke to that. And then we did have a discussion about the interest and the reallocation of the funds that will be going back to us next month. So that was pretty much it.
Okay. No questions or comments that I see. Directors, announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance of public meetings, etc. Anyone have any?
I'll tell you about one that's going to be coming up. Mr. Acosta and I will be meeting with a gentleman from Flume Engineering, something like that, Cal Poly graduate, who has got a new device out that attaches to your water meter, and it will give you updates on your smartphone about your water usage and whether you have a leak going on and real uptime information that way. It's the kind of thing that I think will be incorporated into new water meters in the future. But for now, it's kind of thing where we'll probably let people know that this is available, and we're not going to worry about trying to add them to each of our customers' infrastructure. But I think it'll be an effort to kind of let people know that this is out there. I'm one of those people that isn't real good about timers on all my irrigation systems. This might have saved me some money if I'd had one 5 years ago.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We don't, Ms. Goodart, we don't have any previously asked questions, do we?
Not that I have.
Thank you. All right. All right, we're moving on to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. At this time, I'm asking board members if there are any items you wish to pull. Okay, there aren't any. And just a reminder, 3 minutes to comment on both the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. I'll start at the bottom of your consent agenda, letter I, the pertaining to the documents that will be destroyed. The 2013 is the beginning of the Kivley era, and I think some of those documents still might be of interest. The letter H, I understand that the contractor has to do the permitting, and I'm curious what kind of permits he has to get to proceed. The report Marshall just gave about weed abatement, I knew we had weed abatement authority. When Mitch Cooney was our general manager, he was general manager twice, but at one time he was at an ESAC meeting, and I remember we had this discussion about the district doing weed abatement. And because of the Morrill shoulder band snail, this is not necessarily an avenue we want to go down. Because people can get in trouble over abating. So I'll be interested if you're going to proceed in this manner, what Emergency Services Committee, if they're all brought up to speed, what direction you'll go. I just hate to see any money spent on it, even if it's legal counsel's time. And it strikes me that if you can't even take care of your own property, what are you doing chasing other people? I think you better get your own house in order first on Tierra before you start figuring that you're going to go after people to abate their properties. We don't have that much of a problem in the history of the district. The fire department has handled it with repeated notices and a couple knocks on the door. There's been a couple of chronic, four or five chronic people, and those are all the people you need to deal with. So I don't quite understand what it's really all about. That what's the impetus here? With regard to Renee's report and the Parks and Rec report, I did not hear what the outcome was with regard to the rubber chips and what's the next steps for the replacement of the rubber chips in the park. Do you mind?
One short sentence.
Question on the low-income assistance fund and her report. Letters went out. I'm curious about the cost of postage, the printing costs, and is Renee continuing to track her hours?
Richard Margetson. First quick comment. On consent calendar, you're approving contract with Moss Levy again. Personally, I object to them doing the audit again. I think last year's audit was sloppy. I don't think it got a thorough enough vetting by this board and the committees. I had numerous concerns about it. In fact, got thrown out of a meeting because of my concerns. And just the paragraph in the budget about the wastewater fund shows a complete lack of understanding of where the district's been and what that fund actually comprises. But what I really wanted to talk about is Marshall at the Finance Committee. This staff report was put out about the distribution of the interest income for the district, and you kind of alluded to the fact that it was coming back to committee. I was pretty sure that the committee approved the recommendations in the percentage recommendations in the report. But anyway, I'm going to just point out a few of my concerns with it. First of all, the narrative under discussion. The South Bay Fire Department has all of their funds in one account now. They will be receiving 100% interest from their Los Osos South Bay Premier money market account. Wow. 100% interest. And then on the second page, there's a discussion about the interest rate on the CD, the fiduciary, the wastewater fiduciary fund, of 2.6% interest rate. But then in the breakdown of how you're going to divide the money, the wastewater fiduciary fund is going to get 2.6% of the total. How does that even remotely make sense? And you have 50% going to water, but down at the bottom of the page, water has 1.249 million. Drainage is going to get 47.4%. They have 357,000. This needs to be completely redone, and the accompanying analysis needs to be added. What actually is in each fund? What actually the interest rates are? How much is currently in every one of the accounts related to each of the individual funds. And I change a few of the narratives. So hopefully this comes back.
Anyone else? Thank you. So we're moving on to the general action items now. Yes. Well, since you brought it up, I'm entertaining a motion to receive and file.
Consent.
To approve the consent agenda.
I'm not doing it.
I'll second.
We need a motion first.
I move that we accept the consent agenda.
I think receive and file is the...
Receive and file the consent agenda.
There are resolutions in there, don't we?
We have to get a motion. And
okay.
Do I have a second?
We're going to do separate votes.
I think we just interpret the motion as to approve the consent agenda and receive and file the administrative and committee reports.
I'm not seconding.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Roll call. Roll call.
Yes, and now we have a roll call. But, excuse me.
Thank you. Director Womack?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Aye.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Thank you. Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
President Millage?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now I can move on to general action items. Thank you. All right, so our general action item is the appointment of public members to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. Ms. Goodart, would you give us the report?
Yes. This item is asking for appointments to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. Each director may appoint one voting member to ESAC from the attached local appointments list, or applications received before this item is heard, or from anyone, even if they are not on the list or have applied. There's a copy of the list in the back. The 4:45 this evening, we had 6 applicants. There are 5 openings. The appointee shall serve at the pleasure of the director who appointed them. The Board of Directors may also remove any committee member with or without cause. So we ask for appointments, each director to appoint a member, and then a motion to confirm those appointments.
After public comment.
Yes, after public comment. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Of course you can ask a question.
So if I can understand correctly, the 4 that are listed in the staff report plus these 2,
yes.
Emily and Craig.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm giving you an updated appointment
list. She stole mine.
I did not steal yours.
That's okay. I've got the 2 here. I've got them.
Give me my list back.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. So we have 6 applicants.
Yes.
We have 6 applicants. We are each appointing a member. I will start with Director Sasania.
I would like to appoint Emily Miggins to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee.
Sorry. Damn. Director Tornowski.
Yes, I would like to appoint Craig Baltimore.
Bob Newman.
Gary Orbach.
And I will appoint Warren Sargent. And now we will move on to public comment. Don't actually see any public comment, so we'll move on then to vote to confirm and ratify the appointments. Do we have any discussion? Board member discussion? In that case, I will
enter. Do we need a motion? Or?
Yes. Yeah, I'm about to do that. I'm going to ask for one. Yes, I will entertain a motion to approve all the appointees to the Emergency Services Committee.
I'll second.
I need a motion.
I move one more time.
Move to confirm the appointments.
I move to confirm the appointments.
Second. Do I have a second? Yes.
Second. Whatever.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oops. Okay.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. All right. Okay, so we do not have any pulled consent items. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. Are there any requests from board members to receive feedback, direct staff to prepare information, or request a formal agenda report, and items to be placed on future agendas? Do we have any of those? Okay, then. Closing board comments. Okay.
School's out. Drive slow. Drive slow. There's a lot of kids out these days. Drive slow in the neighborhoods. Yes. Speed limit is 25 miles an hour unless posted otherwise. A lot of people don't know that.
Thank you for that public service announcement. Okay, so I'm adjourning the meeting.